I'm excited.
Me too. I don't know how to push buttons.
You push my buttons all the time. On St. Patrick's Day, the leprechauns rise from the ground.
They do?
The ones I'm thinking of do.
Zombie leprechauns?
Zombie leprechauns come out at night, causing chaos, bringing you fright. Zombie leprechauns.
Zombie leprechauns. Well, here we are.
Yes.
It's another week. Episode 138.
I'm really excited to be here.
Slash you.
Slash you. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
And we are your professors of everything horror slasher. Made between whenever. Who cares? We just love the blood. We love the bubes. We love the body parts. And we love you.
Have we got a classic for you guys today?
Before we dive into this 90s classic. God, I just fucking love the 90s.
They were great.
Just seriously, like rub some Sugar Ray semen all over me and I'm fucking in a good mood. What is Sugar Ray semen? It's not Mark McGrath semen. I'm just want the semen from the band Sugar Ray. Imagine that, baby.
90 seconds in talking about semen.
Well, anyway.
It's 60 of those seconds were the fucking theme song.
Aaron Go Bra. Yeah. Now we're talking about bras. No, we didn't want to do a leprechaun movie. Andy.
There aren't any that really, they're all supernatural. Yeah, and that's not our thing.
So we wanted to go back to campus. Spring break.
That's true. This is that time of year, at least here in the U.S., I think a lot of places.
But before I get started, I want to bring something up to you.
Tell us about current events.
Will you look at this? Does this look normal?
Yes.
Is this a rash?
No.
So this is supposed to be like this? Yeah.
Oh, this is not one of your tattoos?
No, this kind of hurts.
Ooh. Oh,
smell
my.
It. Smell it.
Don't scratch it.
Okay. Anyway.
Moving on.
We have good thing we're not on Kickstarter. Video. You know, we've been talking about Murder Cabin, which you are starring in.
Yes.
We have a fucking Kickstarter open. Mm. Go to our /you Instagram, /you_podcast. I'm going to be posting that thing up, the link to that.
Yeah.
A lot.
I'm going to throw it up on the website, /youpodcast.com.
Thank you.
It'll be on the /you Facebook page as well.
I'm going to put it on the Murder Cabin movie.
The Murder Cabin movie Instagram?
Yes, murder_cabin_movie.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, you obviously love fucking horrors and slashers.
Yeah.
That's what we're making.
This movie's going to be a lot of fun. Short film.
So we have tiers. Like, you donate $30, I'm going to mail you a t-shirt.
Ooh.
You donate $50, I'm going to get a t-shirt and a koozie.
Okay.
If you donate $100, t-shirt, koozie, you're going to get a name, credits.
Okay.
Thank you. Like, thanks.
Thank you, too.
Thanks.
Special thanks, too. I like it.
Yes, it's fun. Yeah. We're excited. Things are coming together. You know, yes. I know there's going to be ups and downs and bumps and bruises, but you got to press on.
Strikes and gutters. Yeah, this is going to be a fun little short film. It's fun. I'm thankful that you asked me to be a part of it. The part is not like me at all. I definitely have to step outside my comfort zone to play this guy. So
the cast, I'm speaking from you know, behind the camera, the cast is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Two great miners doing a good job as your daughter and son.
Like coal miners or
miners.
Oh,
like
oh,
young.
Oh.
I see what you did.
MINOR. Got it. So they're the kids are great. The gal playing the wife is great.
Yes.
I hope that I can live up to what you want for your vision. It's going to be a lot of fun. But, yeah, like I said, not somebody that I'm like. I mean, this guy's a dick, so I have to really play outside the box here.
It was cool. I was talking to, we actually have a professional FX artist who's going to be come doing, you know, the gore factor, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Really great guy. Knows his shit. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And we were talking about your kill and how we're going to have fun with that. I don't want to give away too much. I mean, I guess you could buy the book, you know, I mean, the scripts on Amazon.
On Amazon. Links to it on our site under the buy stuff section.
Oh, rad. I didn't know that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I need to play around on the computer more. Anyway, well, what do we usually do before?
Check out the GoFundMe.
Yeah. Check out the GoFundMe. So, Murder Cabin, help produce local independent art.
It's a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Not a GoFundMe. It's a Kickstarter.
Yeah. GoFundMe wouldn't let me do tears.
Yeah. No. It's Kickstarter for Murder Cabin. And follow the social medias and watch our social stuff for all those links and updates.
Support local horror films.
There's a fundraiser April 10th.
Yes, at the very famous
X-Ray Arcade here in Cudahy, little neighborhood in Milwaukee. We're going to do a fundraiser and a live/you. We're going to talk to the cast members, do a partial read-through.
Just kind of, don't want to give away the milk before you give away the cow.
Right. Just give you a little glass. Before you buy this cow,
I'm going to give you a little glass of milk.
Fundraiser event, you guys have some beers and some food and some fun.
Yes, it's going to be great. Well, enough about that.
But on to our podcast today.
What do we usually do? We spoil it.
We're
going to
spoil the movie.
We're going to take off our pants.
We're semi experts at this point. I like to think we
know. Episode what?
138.
Holy fuck nuts.
And not all of our episodes have been numbered. I mean, I'll give you an example. I put out that best of a few weeks ago. There's no number attached to that. So we've probably done more than 138. We've done like that Ask You years, like a year or two ago where we took questions, Ask You.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we did the collaboration with.
We've had some hidden episodes with, too. Or some lost episodes, I should say.
Maybe one or two that got lost. So, I mean, we might be in the 150s. No, I don't think we are. But we're numbered episodes, 138.
I'm a Dollar General cinephile. Me too. As I've said before. Yeah. So, but dude, I'm kind of stoked we did this one. We're going back to the 90s, so we're going to have a lot of fun with that time period. From 1998, 1 hour 39 minutes.
Urban legend.
The 90s come alive.
Yeah, directed by Jamie Blanks.
This movie is before Jared Leto got all 30 seconds to Marzi.
Yeah. You tell me he looks like
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron.
I mean, seriously, like even Jody was like, dude, he does.
Maybe he's Zac Efron's dad.
Hey.
I don't know how old Zac Efron is.
Jared Leto, this is like when he's I don't know, 30? Yeah,
I don't know. But this...
I don't know, fuck.
This is 26 years ago.
Isn't that weird? That's like if you saw a movie in 2000 to be watching a 1974 movie.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
That is kind of crazy.
I don't like that kind of perspective.
I know. And I mean, it's before like every... like it's so fun to kind of see how this movie kind of comes together. You're like, oh, wow. Oh, beepers. Oh, yeah. Fashion.
Yeah.
The fashion is what I dig the most.
I really dig how young everyone looks because I've seen these stars in other things. And it's like, oh, my God, they're just babies.
Yeah. But
I was 17 when this movie came out.
So we know Jared Leto. Yeah. 17. I was 25.
Yeah.
So this is Jared Leto before, you know, right after his My So-Called Life when he was still kind of innocent before he became a cult leader. You also have Rebecca Gayheart, who, Jawbreakers, of course, Noxzema Girl.
Yep. You have Michael Rosenbaum from, he played Lex Luthor in the Tom Welling Smallville. Like Dawson's Creek meets Superman.
There you go.
Yeah.
He has a Dane Cook like appeal to him in this movie.
Yes, he does.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. Like, oh, he's trying to be funny and he's kind of a douche.
And then Tara Reid, you know, who's before Sharknado.
And other things, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The girl who played Natalie.
Alicia Witt.
Yeah, she's like Alicia in a bunch Witt. Of Christmas movies, like on Lifetime Channel.
I was asking my wife, like, is she doing anything lately? Because I haven't seen her in really anything.
Between, like, I swear, 2018 and 2022, every fucking Christmas movie that came out on Hallmark, she was in.
Okay.
Like, the struggling advertising executive who goes back to Christmas Cookieville to, you know, save the Christmas cookie.
I'm looking at her filmography. She was in that movie, I Care a Lot, a couple years ago on Netflix. But the it's like the woman who like rips a bunch of people off or in old folks' homes. But you're right, she's Our Christmas, Christmas on Honeysuckle Lane. Yeah, she's got a bunch of those.
Yeah,
so good for her.
Yes, and so and Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek, right?
Yep. Pacey himself is in this movie along with Danielle Harris.
Danielle
from
Harris
Hatchet, from. Buffy.
We've seen her in a lot of movies.
Yeah, she was in Chrome Skull 2 just a few weeks ago, like a month
Halloween,
ago at this point.
And she was also in Adam Green's joints.
Yep.
So it's good to see Danielle.
Robert Englund is in this one.
Natalie, Danielle Harris went for the part of Natalie, but they asked Reese Witherspoon to do it. They asked a lot of people to get this character. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Andy, this movie came out at the time when the 90s dimension films, like, you know, the movies were coming out. Because, Andy, this movie is like if Scream was remade about urban legends. This movie, seriously, come on. There's even questions like, you know, where there's a scene like, why? Why? Like, it's very... I don't know. It is Scream, but about urban legends.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the killer in Scream is obsessed with horror movies.
Yeah.
What's your favorite movie, Sydney? And then you got this killer.
Let me see your boobies.
This killer is obsessed with urban legends. So.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like a rash of that stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one to talk about. I say we get into it, but first, we got to get into Andy's Cliff Kill little notes, brought to you by Flying Horses. Ooh. If you want a cool tattoo or you want to go to a land of magic, grab yourself a flying horse. And now, Andy's Cliff Kill notes, Rewind 90s edition.
Thank you, Flying Horses. I like that you call them Flying Horses and not Pegasuses. So I think Pegasus is the name of a specific horse in Greek mythology.
Yes.
Yeah, where like not all facial tissues are Kleenex. Kleenex is a brand.
Band-Aid. Frisbee. Yeah. So, flying disc.
Right.
Yes.
Flying horse. Anyway, I got a little too much there. We all know the stories, Nick. If you flash your headlights at a car that doesn't have theirs on, they'll turn around and follow you and running you off the road. It's part of a gang initiation. There's the one about the eating Pop Rocks and drinking Pepsi.
Oh, there's all kinds.
Your guts are going to explode. And there's one about a babysitter who put kids to bed only to get a creepy phone call and ends up coming from inside the house. Well, in today's movie, there's a killer on the loose at Pendleton University stalking Natalie and her friends and killing them according to some of these crazy urban legends. Why is the killer doing this? And can Natalie stop the killer before she becomes the next victim? Victim of the old kidney swapperoo or whatever?
The gerbil up the butt?
Yeah. We're going to find out. That's really all there is to it.
Yeah, this is a movie about urban legends. Speaking of that, that was the Robert... Richard Gere. He stuck a gerbil up his butt.
That's an urban legend.
Do you remember the one about Marilyn Manson? Two of them. One, he played the friend in Urban Legend.
He played the friend in Wonder Years. Yep.
And he cut his ribs so he could suck his own pee-pee.
That was all, that story went around my school.
And this is before the internet. Like, people would, like, and I, like, you're kind of like, and some of these urban legends, like, I remember, like, I thought the gang one with the lights coming on and off.
We talked about that in my school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, I heard the different ones. I didn't really believe the one. I knew, like, the calling from in the house. And
I knew about the one where a guy, like, meets up with a woman for a drink, and he ends up passing out, and he wakes up in a bathtub full of ice, missing his kidney. You know, I've heard that story. And that's been a trope in a lot of movies.
Yeah, Aren't You Glad You Didn't Turn on the Light? I had a girl at my college going around saying, that happened to my friend who went here like 4 years before us.
Wow.
And I was like, this is another good one, Andy, where the people go on vacation. Mm-hmm. It's usually in New Orleans. And they come back to their hotel room and it's, you know, things have been stolen, except their camera.
Mm.
And they're like, oh, well, that's fucking weird, but at least we got our camera. But some other things are stolen. So they go on with their trip, and when they get home, they finally develop the film, mm-hmm. and it's pictures of the robbers, like, with masks on, sticking their toothbrushes up their butts.
Oh, no.
That's not fake facts.
Well, it's like they develop the film, like, 3 weeks later after they've been, it's like, holy shit, look what they did.
All right.
That's more of a, like, hilarious prank, if you ask me. Oh, man. They stole some stuff, but not our camera.
That would be
so terrible. You can't really get away with that now because there's no film to be developed.
Yeah.
It's all like, let's look at these pictures immediately.
That's how you can tell it old. Urban legends do get older, especially like with phones.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that now. The phone's coming from all the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it's a great opening scene. A great opening scene with our friend Michelle Mancini. She's driving a car, just kind of hanging out. She's listening to a sex show at Pendleton University. Mm-hmm. But Andy, this is just a setup for the movie as a credits roll. That the story goes with the "There's someone in your car."
Yeah, this is one. She almost hits another car when she is reaching into the back seat without looking. And so she turns on the radio instead and starts singing along to Turn Around Bright Eyes. Very poorly.
Very poorly.
She's not a great singer. No. Sorry. Notices that she's almost on empty. And just as a big old thunderstorm starts to roll up, she barely makes it to a gas station. And the attendant comes out to pump her gas. He's a super creepy guy. Very bad stutter.
So, I'm not making fun of stuttering. I hope that people don't get that. Yeah. I was just saying he's a stutter. Yeah.
Very debilitating stutter. He pumps her gas and takes her credit card.
Notices something in the back seat of her car. Yeah. You could see him and
he looks in the car. He comes back out and says, your credit card company's on the phone.
Remember the old MasterCard logo?
I need you to, they want to speak with you. So of course she's like, oh shit. She gets her can of mace ready, puts it in her pocket because she's freaked out by this guy. She thinks he's a little skeezy. And she goes into the gas station. He locks the door and she grabs the telephone and notices it's just a busy signal. Beep, 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 beep. So she freaks out and struggles to get away from him. He can't speak because of the stutter. He's trying to get something out, but she instead just pushes him away, maces him.
Breaks the window.
Breaks the window to get
runs
out.
Runs back to the car.
Yeah, gets in her car, and he tries to stop her, but she just, you know, hits the gas and barrels out of the parking lot just as he regains his composure enough to yell, There's someone in the back seat!
And that's what's weird to me because this, first off, there's so many. Then she drives on. Someone does appear in the light.
She starts singing.
Yeah.
Turn around!
And it's just a scene with an axe and she's getting chopped. And then
I don't know.
The car should have veered. She was driving. Yeah. She wasn't stopped.
They end the scene.
But
even
Cheryl
watched it with me last night. It was just like, why would you chop the head off somebody who's driving a car down the highway?
It bothered me too. Yeah. I even wrote in my notes. This is not cool. It bugs the crap out of me because I was like, that killer, she would have veered on a windy road, you know, up in the Northeast.
Probably doing 50 miles an hour
exactly.
at least.
And, you know, like my first instinct, I think would have been to stop. But also think about waiting back there. How did the killer know that the urban legend would play out like that? How did the killer know that it would have? Because this killer is basing their kills on urban legends. Sorry. Thank you for coming to my fucking weird-ass TED Talk. But
it's like Behind the Mask that we watched last week, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Yeah.
This killer prepared and kind of knows the formula. Here's what's going to happen.
And yeah, I guess you could always go back and think about that now, you know?
I will never stop thinking about that one.
But, I mean, it is because it could have worked out better because what if, like, that gas attendant could have been like, hey, ma'am, you got someone in your car. Maybe she knew that she gave something away.
So
everyone's seen this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've seen it, too, but it's been a long time. But as soon as the gas station attendant, like, brought her inside, I was like, oh, yeah, she's going to be freaked out by him, but he's not the bad guy.
Yeah,
he's trying to warn her. And I remembered, you know, so.
I knew, like, right away. Right. What was happening? I knew the killer, too.
Well, that's our first death. And, yeah, regardless, we don't know if the car veered off the road or not because they just cut away from the scene. That's it. And we open on Pendleton University.
WZAB, Sasha. She's a radio DJ. This is Tara Reid's character.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha, she's, I guess, like Loveline. She does a sex radio talk show.
Yeah.
And I love how the producer, I guess, who's working her soundboard has his shirt, like, it's unbuttoned.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, hey.
Showing a lot of chest.
Yeah. And she's like talking about, you know, swallowing cum. Yeah. Felicia about, you know, swallowing man juice. And
Semen.
Yes.
You have trouble saying it now.
I do. Yeah. This movie is...
In any other context, you can bring it up freely. You make it rain semen in here, figuratively. And now when we're talking... Figuratively.
Oh, God.
And now when we're talking...
Come visit Slash U Studios in beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
You have trouble, so...
No, but I love how 90s movie this is. Like, she's having fun, you know, talking to Felicia. And we cut to the rest of our cast, the cast that everyone really needs to know. Parker, who's our frat boy.
Mm-hmm.
We also, he's talking about Stanley Hall. This is kind of setting up our murder. Kind of our story, right?
The Stanley Hall Massacre.
The Stanley Hall Massacre that happened 25 years ago in 1973.
Yeah. We also meet, he's telling the story to Brenda and Natalie. Natalie's our hero.
Brenda's
heroine. Brenda's the best friend.
Yeah.
Bubbly
Rebecca Gayheart.
Yeah. And Natalie's kind of the every girl, sort of. The level-headed, normal, you know, I guess smart one. She's not ditzy. There's
the final
always
girl.
Yeah, she's the final girl. So Parker's telling the story of Stanley Hall. We also meet Paul. who is Jared Leto.
Yeah, he's like the...
He works at the newspaper.
Yeah, he's a journalist.
He's a journalist, yeah. I don't know why that comes up, but...
But he's a big journalist at the school.
Yeah, he's a big deal. And Parker is, discussing why they have their a frat party each year to commemorate the massacre, and this is the 25th anniversary, so it's got to be a big one. Brenda has the hots for Paul.
She does. Do you want to tell him what the Stanley Massacre was? It was about a killer that went around and knocked on the door of every room at this dorm, Stanley Hall.
He just slit their throats.
They slit their throats. And people say, is it real? Is it not? It's kind of like an urban legend on campus, which I think a lot of campuses have their own specific urban legend.
We had one at Marquette, for
what
sure.
Was it?
That there was a priest who'd hung himself or jumped off the third story of Johnston Hall to kill himself. And if you hang out in the upper stories of Johnston Hall, you might, hear a ghost or some bullshit like that.
Oh, that's kind of like a haunted story, urban legend.
We actually did it one night, Halloween night. I gave up my Halloween to go camp out at Johnston Hall, and because a buddy had keys, and we got in, and we stayed like 3 in the morning, and we're like creeping there.
How many people were there?
It's 3 of us. And
did y'all get high or drink beers?
No.
Totally sober.
We hid in like an attic storage area. It was pitch black. And I think we almost got caught by security. We heard somebody coming, and we're like, shut the lights off, turn off, hide. And the campus security sort of just walked through and left.
Very, very, that kind of sounds like it was written for a script.
Yeah, but we didn't hear anything. So, and I was like, thank you, I want to go to sleep. Yeah, it's 3 in the morning, for Christ's sake. So, anyway, so we just meet the main cast. Brenda's got the hots for Paul. That's about it.
It's funny because after they leave the cafeteria coffee shop, Natalie and Brenda go to Stanley Hall.
It's all boarded up. Yeah.
They haven't torn it down. They're going to leave it up. I don't know if there's plans to, make it a Starbucks or something, but they want to scream bloody murder. I guess there's an urban legend that if you stand at the doorway of the boarded up building and say bloody murder like so
Bloody
many
Mary.
Times, Bloody Mary or Bloody Murder?
Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary is the mirror. Anyway.
It is. But they didn't do that
They
here.
Start, Brenda starts kind of doing it, and, Natalie's kind of poking fun at her, and they hear screams kind of permeating from
like
the dorm.
Groaning and wailing.
Is that Damon? Because Damon, Damon has a ventriloquist. He could throw his fucking voice.
I guess so. Maybe he has a microphone hidden speaker in there or something.
I wonder if I could throw my voice to your microphone. Andy.
Yeah, it worked. I don't know. So suddenly, Damon the prankster jumps out. This is Percy.
Pacey.
Joshua Jackson.
Bleach blonde ass hair, total 90s, wearing like, everybody in the 90s wore like 8 jackets. I don't know why, but you had to wear like 5 jackets.
Well, you have to layer up, in case it's cold.
He's kind of like, the jokester, prankster, perv. So again, we're just kind of setting characters, development, and we're kind of pushing through the movie.
Yes.
And we get back to Natalie, who's going to her room, and this is where we meet Natalie and her roommate, Tosh.
Right.
Who is the goth roommate.
She walks in and turns on the light. Tosh is having sex and with yells, turn off the light!
With a Marilyn Manson looking type guy.
So Nat just turns off the light, says sorry, and falls asleep with headphones in while the roommate's getting banged.
It's kind of a foreshadowing for how she's going to die.
It's a setup
for how, leave the lights off because you hear me making sounds. So she has to...
Cheryl was like, why would you even stay? Like, if your roommate's having sex, go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's...
What happened to the sock on the door thing?
Yeah, and then, I guess, one time my roommate and I in college in Colorado, we both brought girls home, and we both did it in the same room. But we were kind of...
Okay.
I could hear stuff, but
this
I wasn't really...
a safe space. You can share those stories, I guess.
Yeah, I feel very comfortable. But, she does. She just puts on a Discman. A Discman, kids, is what used to... It's like a walk... You used to play your CDs, and you would put headphones on.
Right.
And these were Bluetooth. They actually had to connect to this little CD player.
Right.
And you could
CDs
go to...
CDs were around,
They know what CDs
metallic
are.
Metallic disc. But you're right. Natalie just falls asleep with headphones in to drown out the noises. The next day, they learn about folklore.
From Freddy Krueger himself.
Right, their folklore class.
Professor Wexler.
I have a typo in my notes, so from, it's really throwing me off. Sorry.
Robert Englund, who plays Professor Wexler.
Yes.
It's a class on folklore, but he decides to kind of jump up to urban legends.
Yeah, that's so, their unit today or whatever.
About the call calling from the house and how everyone's like, yeah, that happened to my friend's sister's cousin.
Right.
Oh, did it?
Even Brenda's like, no, that happened to somebody in my hometown. He's like, really?
Yeah.
Suddenly his cell phone rings a little bit. And it's like, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah,
you kind of... And he just says, excuse me, class. And Brenda makes a joke, and the class laughs, and he's like, would you like to...
That was a stupid joke, too.
Come up here? Yeah.
It's like, well, maybe not babysit anymore.
So he voluntells her. Voluntells her. Come up front.
That's a good word.
I've been voluntold. Yeah. You've never used that? Yeah.
Oh,
I've been voluntold for many things. It's like at work, at home. Yeah.
Kind of volunteer, but you're told to do it.
He says, come on up here, because he wants to do the old Pop Rocks. He gives her a pack of Pop Rocks. You know what these are? Oh, yeah, they crackle in your mouth.
Yeah.
And Brenda eats some, and then he offers her a Pepsi. And she shakes her head, no, no. And he's like, why? And she said, it makes your guts explode if you mix Pepsi with Pop Rocks. And he says, have you ever heard of somebody dying from that? And she goes, yeah, Mikey from the Life cereal commercial.
Yeah, and Mikey likes it. It was very much a prominent commercial about, you know.
Give it to Mikey.
He'll
eat anything.
And he likes it.
Yeah.
And so Mikey, the actor who played him, died from taking Pop Rocks and drinking a Coke.
That's what they say.
Yep.
But Professor Wexler hits his little slideshow and says, what if I told you that this is Mikey? He works in an ad agency in New York.
New York City, yeah.
He's a grown man. He's fine. Damon suddenly raises his hand and says, I'll do it. I'll come up. I'll eat the Pop Rocks and drink the Pepsi. And he does it. And he starts to convulse.
Very 90s.
And shake. Yeah. Falls on the floor.
The music.
Everyone to panic, but he's faking.
Yeah, of course he's faking.
Womp, so, you know,
again, setting up that he's a prankster.
He's a joke.
I always remember hearing, too, that if you swallowed your gum, it would stay in your stomach for 7 years.
I heard that, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't go swimming after you got to wait an hour to go swimming.
You get cramps.
Eat. Mm-hmm. So crazy. But later that day, the campus newspaper is making its rounds. Andy Paul. Mm-hmm. Our Jared Leto Marzi guy has put out a report about a serial killer, a lunatic on the loose in the town surrounding Pendleton University.
Yeah.
And the dean is not having this, and he's backed up by Campus Officer Reese.
Security guard, yeah.
So, yeah, she is awesome, kind of like a Foxy Brown. She's very much into Pam Grier and Foxy Brown.
Idolizes Foxy Brown, yeah. She's watching the movie later in this movie. So they're gathering up the newspaper. They can't have this news story out there. Paul's obviously upset, you know. This is a fucking important news. I want everyone to know. Natalie doesn't take too kindly to it. She's just like, do you even care? This is someone's life. And Paul's just like, no, I don't care.
He doesn't. He's a journalist.
Because of my story, 3,000 some odd other kids care. And I think that will help me sleep at night. You know, he's a journalist. Just get the story out there.
They're reporting that the news are reporting the gas attendant is on the loose and that he's the killer and that they're looking for him.
Yeah.
And just kind of, it's kind of weird how the gang hangs out later. You know, and I love Damon's a snowboarder, you know, blonde hair, 8 jackets,
right,
baggy pants. I'm going snowboarding in Killington.
He talks about how he knew this Michelle Mancini
this
who got
weird.
Killed.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to miss her because she gave great head. Hey-oh, because she got her head chopped off.
And then everyone laughs.
Everyone laughs.
Like, I think if someone made that joke, I'd be like, dude, that's not cool.
Well,
I think I would have laughed.
We're a little more sensitive these days. I think we know it is go, hey, too soon, that's not cool.
I don't think, I mean, I'm not even talking about moments now currently. I'm talking about then if I would have.
Well, you're a nice person. Me too. I would have been like, whoa, somebody's dead, man. But still, I don't know.
It's okay, I don't want to get into it, but I still, that would kind of threw me
off. Nowadays, you'd be like, was she a Trump supporter? Yes. Then fucking who cares? She had her head chopped off, so what? One less mega dick in this world, right?
That's a great movie idea.
Copyright. You can't have it. Trademark. That's our idea. But,
it's like a Dexter, but you're doing it for Trump supporters.
Right. So Natalie goes back to her room. Her roommate Tosh there on the computer. And
yeah, goth websites.
Yeah, Natalie picks up the phone and it's...
Bwee! I love that. I wrote that.
The old modem and...
You couldn't use your land phone if you were on the computer connected to the internet because that's how you got the internet through your phone line.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So Tosh turns around and just storms out saying, like, this is my phone line too, you know, and okay, Tosh is a little hostile roommate.
Yeah, she is not stoked. She's, you know, like goth. I mean, they take goth stereotype to the extreme with Tosh. Yeah.
Natalie listens to her answering machine. There's a message there from her mom saying, you know, I heard about Michelle and Nat pulls out a yearbook, and we learn that she did, in fact, go to high school.
They were co-captains on the cheerleading team.
Yeah, she knew Michelle Mancini very well.
But this is also when Damon comes over, you know, because they're homies, and she, you know, kind of quits joking around Andy. He kind of looks at her and says, you know, I can listen, too.
Yep.
If you have anything you want to talk about, let's go. So yep. That's what they do, Andy. They get in his car, and it's so funny. When he turns on the car, Paula Cole's, I don't want to wait.
Yeah.
And that's the song from Dawson's Creek.
And he cringes like, oh, I hate that song, and turns it off.
Pretty funny. Funny Easter egg there, but
very funny.
They take off to, you know, like a lover's lane point, like somewhere in the woods around the campus in his car. And it becomes clear, Andy, that Damon, I think, wants to touch boob.
He tells a sob story about his girlfriend recently dying, and he seems sympathetic at first. And Natalie figures out quickly that he's lying to get her to make out with him. She ends up punching him in the face and demands, you know, let's go. Let's leave now. But he's like, I got to take a piss first.
And so he walks 2 miles away from the car to go take a piss.
Cheryl said the same thing. She's like, why does he have to walk so far into the woods?
Because I even said that to Jody. I was like, Cheryl and I are tracking this the same way.
Yeah.
He could, like, if he was going to take a poo-poo, like, I can understand, like, but then it'd be, like, awkward because you don't want to poop in front of your date.
No.
But then, exactly, he walks way far away. I would have walked 2 feet. I would walk behind the car.
You have to keep in mind, they're in the woods and it's nighttime.
Yeah.
The light, because I said to Cheryl, I'm like, where's the light coming from? The light's only there for us to see them. Again, we've been over this.
Yeah, but it could have been moonlight.
Could have been moonlight. It was awfully bright. Yeah. Awfully bright for moonlight. But they can't obviously make it really dark, because then we as the audience wouldn't be able to see them. We'd be like, what a shitty movie.
We talked about that. I think we brought that up in the Mad Men.
So the light is, you know, imaginary, quote unquote, and yet still doesn't make any sense then why he has to walk, you know, 50 feet into the woods or more.
Yeah, so but it's the setup so he can get killed, because we meet our killer for the first time.
Yeah.
Whose costume is a jacket with a, you know, one of those Kango hoods, or I don't know what
it's
you call
it. Parka. I called it a
there
parka.
There you go. Good call. And it's got the fur line.
Fur line hood, right. You can't see the face. Right. And
he's gets him by the rope.
Perhaps a rope around Damon's neck, and as he's struggling, we jump back to Natalie, who's kind of like, where you are, Damon? Where you at?
Are you taking a poop?
Yeah, shake it off. Let's go. And suddenly the killer appears, scaring Natalie. She jumps back in the car in the driver's seat trying to start it. The old trope where she can't get it started. It's a tricky car to start. The killer wraps a rope around the trailer hitch of the car. And then next thing Natalie knows, there's like a squeaking up on the roof. She hears a thump and then squeak, 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 squeak up on the roof of the car.
Yeah.
And as the camera pans up, it's Damon hanging with his feet barely touching the car.
Like he can keep alive just on his tippy toes.
On his tippy toes.
Don't move the car.
And he's trying to say, no, you know, don't move the car. The other end of the rope tied to the, it's around a tree branch and it's come down and tied to the trailer hitch. The car's tied to the tree. So Natalie, the killer jumps up on the hood of the car and starts hitting it and bashing it with an axe, I guess. And
I think to make
Natalie go.
Yes, I think it's not really to kill her. I think it's like step on it, try to get away.
She freaks, gets the car started. And she pedal to the metal forward, which ultimately hangs Damon. It pulls him upwards, hanging him. But the rope is wrapped once around the tree trunk. So the car's stuck, tied to the tree. She can't go any farther. She backs up, causing Damon's body to fall down on top of the hood, breaking the windshield.
And Damon is dead.
He's dead, and Natalie runs away.
Yeah, she takes off. So she goes back to campus and gets Officer Reese, Campus Officer Reese, says, yo, come check it out. So they hop in her car, go to the scene, and there's nothing there, Andy, except one beer can.
Yeah.
So, of course, Officer Reese looks at it and goes, hey, there's probably something else on your mind.
Yeah.
You playing a joke? Are you drunk?
What are you on?
Yeah. Drugs.
And
everyone's like doing a lot of ecstasy back then.
Natalie's
cocaine
like,
with ecstasy.
Natalie's like, I swear, I'm not on anything. He's dead. It could have been that killer that killed Michelle Mancini. And Reese just says that.
Reese isn't having that.
That's not possible. They arrested that gas station guy this morning.
Yep, there you go.
So
and it's funny because Natalie's, you know, freaking out, obvi.
Yeah.
And so she goes to talk to her friends at the coffee shop. Mm-hmm.
It's like Friends. They all gather.
I wrote the same thing. I wrote the same fucking thing because
Central
it's
Perk.
90s.
Yeah.
They all had Jennifer Aniston haircuts, too.
They're gathered at the campus coffee shop.
The campus coffee shop. where Phoebe comes with her guitar and sings Smelly Cat.
Yeah.
No, but for real. So they go back and she's like, Damon's dead. And of course, Parker's like, you know, Damon's the biggest prankster. Mm-hmm. He's got a mannequin. He's, you know, Professor Damon's or Professor Wexler's class. You know, he
knows the story.
Knows the story. And he's up in Killington snowboarding with his buddies.
Yeah, he left.
Call the resort.
Because that's what Brenda says. Like, well, how come he's not here basking in, you know, the prank? And they said, because he's off skiing. He went skiing. He skipped town for the weekend.
Snowboarding.
Snowboarding. So, but you're right. Parker connects that it's an urban legend about the boyfriend hanging with his toes touching the car. And then Natalie says, well, the guy with the axe in the back seat, the way Michelle Mancini was killed, is also an urban legend. It's almost like someone's taking all the stories and making them a reality after two. After two instances, we know. Just like, what the fuck? Prom Night 2. Hello, Mary Lou.
Yes.
It's one of the few supernatural movies we did hit.
That's
it was
right.
So fast that they said, maybe it's the ghost of Mary Lou. I was like, you've come to this conclusion this quickly? So it's just so fast that they're like, it's a killer using urban legends.
I mean, they were also looking at the, I don't know if Stanley Hall has anything to do with it, but they've kind of been surrounded by urban legends, but. Yeah. Parker even kind of makes the joke like, oh, really? Like the gerbil up the celebrity's ass and the spider eggs and the bubble gum, which I totally forgot about.
Yeah.
You know, eggs. Ugh. Yeah, like they chew, once they chew the gum, all the, they were like, where spiders came crawling out of mouth. First, yeah. You know, they would die, but.
Right. I heard that a spider could lay eggs in your ear and then they, you know, in the middle of the night, and you wake up and like have a spider egg sack in your ear. How creepy is that? So anyway, Natalie tries calling the snowboard or ski resort to see if there's if Damon is there. They can't really tell her for sure. Oh yeah, there's a bachelor party here, but we don't really know. Don't really know who's who. His name's not on the room.
She says, I kind of remember a dude that looks like that. But to be honest, Andy, back in the 90s at a snowboard resort, everybody would have blonde hair and eight jackets on.
Right. So
and baggy pants.
That's a dead end.
Yes.
So Natalie heads to the library, where she finds. The Encyclopedia of Urban Legends.
Yes. The Encyclopedia. It's a lot of copy with, like, great illustrations in it. Yeah.
Pencil drawings that look really good.
She notices that Damon was the last person to check out that book.
Yes.
Wink, wink.
And her friend Sasha is suddenly there with a copy of the Kama Sutra.
Love.
So together they sit down to read through the book, and they find the old high beam headlight legend where...
Yeah, the gangs.
Yeah, it's a gang initiation. Yep. If you flash your lights to try to warn them that their lights aren't on, they turn around and start following you. We jump back to Tosh, her roommate, really quick, who's IMing.
Yeah,
looking for goth guys on campus to hook up.
Totally, man. It's like a great thing to, you know, hang out with other goths that like lithium and listening to Stabbing Westward or, you know, what, Nine Inch Nails.
Right.
And she actually starts, you know, like you said, communicating with one and sets up a date, it looks like. She wants to go to the room and like, yeah. So
Tosh's IM says, tell me what room you're in. And then she leaves to go put on makeup.
Yes.
And yeah, we cut back to Natalie, who, you're right, sees that Damon previously checked out the book. We come back to Tosh. She gets back to her room and sits back down to the computer. And this person has answered her. Tell me what room you're in.
Yours.
And suddenly a hand appears over her mouth and the struggle begins.
And this is a quick, you know, so it is kind of like that. She heard her roommate previously, you remember, folks, students. She was having sex, so she thinks she's hearing sex again, but it's actually her dying.
When Natalie comes in, the lights are off and you can hear the noises of, you know, a struggle, which I guess sounds enough like sex that Natalie's like, sorry, I'm not going to turn on the light. I'm not going to look. You know, but Tosh is there trying to call for her help for her life.
Deeper.
No, Natalie, he wouldn't say that. Natalie puts on her headphones and falls asleep as Tosh gets choked to death.
Yeah. And the next morning, Natalie wakes up and discovers her dead roommate with blood written on the wall.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you didn't turn on the lights?
With her wrists slashed.
Yes.
Making it look like a suicide.
Exactly.
Which kill is closer to... You know, which instance did someone come so close to being saved? This right here, or Drew Barrymore Scream, the first kill in Scream. She was so close. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yes.
In the beginning of the movie, her parents like came home 2 seconds too late.
She saw them coming up the driveway.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this one
because it's the same room. right?
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, you also got to think. Can't think. Oh shit! Sorry, Doc. I was trying.
This is an audio medium. Nick knocked over his mic.
I'm thinking though because I feel like I could get because it's just covering. I feel like I could move the killer's head. Hey, help! Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, like I feel that she out of that scenario you brought up.
Yeah,
she was closer than Drew Barrymore.
That's just so shitty that the thoughts that must have been going through Tasha's head. Like I'm dying right here, and my roommate right there has no fucking clue, and I'm powerless to alert her.
I'm so sorry. I was so mean to her.
Who knows what she was thinking, but man.
Smoking cigarettes in our dorm room.
It's rough. Painting half the room black, always blasting the goth music.
But that brings us up because no one believes Natalie when she's starting to think like, hey, this is a killer. Why would someone write that on the wall? Aren't you glad you didn't tell her? Oh, just some morbid, the dean thinks it's some kind of morbid, like, you know,
suicide note. And you're right, because they know that Tosh was manic depressive. She was on medication for it. And she, it seems that there's no signs of forced entry, no other signs of a struggle. You couldn't see like ligature marks around her neck or anything. I'm not a CSI, but you have to be able to see that she was strangled, right? But they were focused on the slit wrists and saying that, well, she was on meds for depression, so she killed herself.
One thing, too, like movies like this would never work because of so much CCTV now. Every dorm room in, the crappiest dorm in America has got a CCTV. But I mean, what I'm thinking is it is true. Like this is just fun. You can't, this kind of movie, you can't really dive into it. Like,
right.
To me, still, the decapitation while someone's driving 50 miles an hour on, twisty, turvy roads up in the, mountains in the Northeast. Okay, sorry.
Anyway, Natalie's kind of gone off on her own to kind of clear her head.
Paul, I think, kind of believes her, Andy.
Paul walks up to her, and he has done a little bit of research on the original death, Michelle Mancini.
Yes.
And he says, hey, you and Michelle were friends. How come you didn't tell me? Which, okay. So they go to the newspaper office to talk, and Nat tells the story about how she thinks she has a theory that this is an urban legend killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the office where 30 Seconds to Mars sets up off their office.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's where they filmed it.
Paul says, but why now? Why would this killer decide to start doing this now? And it's because it's the 25th anniversary of the Stanley Hall Massacre. So let's go to the archives or whatever.
I'm so glad you answered that because I wrote, ask Andy what they call this room. Archives. They keep files. Yes. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there going, what's this room called? File room? Like, I mean,
yep.
But they're going to look for that specific
records.
Year.
Yeah, 1973. Records. 1973.
Yep. And guess what? It's missing, dude.
72, 74. Where's 1973? Well, let's ask this janitor, because he's been working here forever.
Yeah, he was, since he was five? He doesn't look that old.
No, but
he's a baby janitor.
The old trope of the janitor being super creepy.
Oh, good one. Yes.
Right? I even said to Cheryl, like, the janitor at my high school was super nice. Like, he was a really friendly guy. He was a local. I think he knew my parents. I'm in a small town, but point being...
Yeah, I was about to say.
He was a nice guy.
Your dad's brother, was it? I was kidding.
No, and my dad's brother's a doctor. Thank you very much.
No, but I didn't feel like that. Yeah.
Janitors are great. But I'm just saying, not all janitors are creepy fucking, maybe he's a pedophile,
Janitors are great.
They're perfectly normal people. But in these movies, janitors are always like really weirdos, like psychos. And they even say like, how long have you been working? And he's like, too fucking long.
Yeah. But see, he doesn't, I mean, let's say he got the job when he was 28, 45. Sure. But anyway, yes, he's just like... been too long. Do you know anything about the Wexler Hall or Wexler or the Stanley Hall? Thank you. And he's like, go talk to Wexler.
Talk to Dr. Wexler.
Go ahead,
So they go to Wexler's office. Yeah, he's not there.
They break into it like...
They essentially just...
Fucking...
Yeah.
They deviant. Got a clue.
Right. So they discover a like secret closet storage area off of his office, like in a secret cabinet. They walk in. The parka... There's a parka that looks just like the killer's parka hanging on the door. Natalie doesn't say a word about that. She's just like, okay, and brushes past it. She notices it, but
of course.
Why wouldn't she go, hey, this is the same fucking parka the killer was wearing when he attacked me and Damon.
If they're up in the Northeast, everyone would have like, it's just like having parka. A North Face. Like, yeah. You are a North Face.
They all shop at Land's End or L.L. Bean.
They drink IPAs.
And they buy the same parka, but there's an axe in there as well.
Yeah, the axe, perfectly clean axe.
Suddenly they hear Dr. Wexler coming back, so they hide in this little, storage room. And when they think that he has left again, they come out, but He's there. He's like,
surprise!
Something I can help you with. And we go to the dean.
Yeah, of course he's pissed. You know, like, it's, yeah.
They're in big trouble.
So they take him to the dean, and he's like, what about the jacket? We live in the Northeast. What about the axe? It's a prop for class. Like, you know, leave me the fuck alone. So
he says, what about the Stanley Hall Massacre? And the dean says, everybody out. I want to talk to these two, you know, Natalie and Paul alone.
Yep.
So he dismisses everybody. Reese, the security guard, to Dr. Wexler.
Everyone's gone.
I want to talk to these two. The dean says, you know, Natalie, I pulled your file, and I found out that you were on probation for reckless endangerment prior to coming to this college, which is odd. You're lucky you got in. We don't accept people with a record like that.
Yeah, she had gotten accepted before...
Before it happened.
Before this event happened. But worse, Andy, 30 Seconds to Mars has kicked off the newspaper.
Paul has been booted off the paper.
And he is now pissed because his life, Andy, was not only that band, but it was also the newspaper.
As they storm out, he demands to answers from Natalie, like, what's the deal with this reckless endangerment? Because now I'm not going to have a big sample of writing stuff, and my career is probably over.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm going to be writing for Reader's Digest.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Reader's Digest. Perfectly fine magazine. But he demands to know about the reckless endangerment story, and Natalie just stonewalls him, and he storms off.
It's a needless scene of her walking to, I guess, to find her buddy Brenda, and Brenda is swimming. She's, I guess, down in the pool.
She's trying to stay in shape.
Trying to stay in shape, get that skin, noxzema, and swimming. That's the secret right there. So Natalie's above in an office kind of watching her friend swim, but as she looks at the door down in the pool, someone walks in, Andy, wearing that same jacket.
God damn it.
And, of course, Rebecca's not going to notice because she's...
Brenda.
Brenda, yeah. Brenda's not going to notice because she's swimming.
Yeah, Rebecca's her real name.
Yeah, sorry.
Rebecca Gayheart. But
the 10 milligrams is kicking in.
Natalie starts pounding on the window like, Brenda, watch out! And this person walks around the pool, and just as Natalie takes a chair trying to break the glass, Brenda comes up out of the water, and this person is just some other girl ready to go swimming wearing a parka, and they're both looking at Natalie like, what the fuck? And we cut to the locker room where Brenda's like, don't worry about me. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So this is when our friend Natalie decides to break down to her friend Brenda and tell her the story of what happened. Why did she get on criminal endangerment, Andy?
The reckless endangerment story.
Reckless endangerment, yeah.
She tells it. Turns out I know Michelle Mancini. We were friends in high school, and we were riding together in my car. Michelle was driving, and you know the story about the gang high beam initiation? We've come back to this one a lot. But in any case, her and Michelle were driving, and there was a car coming at them, and they turned off their headlights, and then this guy flashed his lights at them.
To be a good, you know.
Hey, turn on the headlights, and Michelle pulled a U-turn. And started speeding up behind this guy, flashing her high beams over and over again, really riding the guy's butt. And so much so that he ended up losing control of the car and flew off the road and died.
Yep, he was their age. You
and
know,
he was like, about their age. Natalie's crying, telling the story like, it was a horrible accident. We didn't know that was going to happen. The courts went easy on us, just gave us probation.
This was their first offense. Young white girls.
Yeah, there you go.
in the Northeast.
Yeah,
the suburbs of the Northeast.
Ritzy, on their way to a ritzy college.
They could have fucking pissed on that kid after they killed him, and they still would have gotten a life sentence.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my how times have changed.
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm not trying to bring that up, but you know what I'm saying. Like, they were he gave us, you know, he's very leaning on us. You know, they were good girls.
Right. Well, needless to say, that's what Natalie said. She never forgave Michelle after that, and she really didn't forgive herself. But Brenda says, gosh, that's terrible.
But
it's all behind you now. Why don't you got to come to the big party tonight to take your mind off it. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's fucking party.
Big frat party celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Stanley Hall Massacre.
And remember, Paul's not much of a party guy, so, you know.
We're back to Paul, yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of hanging out in his office, and
he's cleaning out his desk, because he's been fired.
Yeah, and he realizes that the janitor left Jared Leto a clue. He's got a clue.
A newspaper article.
Yeah, and it says, never become a cult leader.
It also says...
Yes.
It's an article about the sole survivor of the Stanley Hall Massacre, a young man named William Wexler, who's now a professor at the university.
Professor.
We cut now to the dean getting into his car, which is funny. He's leaving for the day, and he kind of checks the back seat,
Yeah, he's leaving for the weekend. But yeah, he does, yeah. Yes.
Checks the back seat and kind of just smiles and shakes his head like, ugh, I'm being silly. And suddenly Officer Reese is there. She scares him slightly. You know, whoa, Reese, what are you doing? And Reese just says, maybe we should get some extra guards around here. And I can't find this Damon kid. He's been missing. And the professor's or the dean's just like, don't worry about it. It's the weekend. He's probably off somewhere shacked up in a hotel with a girl or a guy
or a farm animal.
Which is, you know, don't worry about it. And also keep that under your hat. Don't mention it to anybody and we'll worry about this later. So Reese leaves. And the dean turns around and looks in the backseat again. But before he can get in his car, somebody pokes out from underneath his car. Slices his Achilles tendon. Oh, we've seen that in a couple other movies.
Yeah, I mean, Pet Cemetery is what it's really like.
The dean drops to the ground, and he can't get up and walk now. So he's crawling, which was weird because wouldn't Officer Reese like hear him cry out like oh and fall down? She's like six steps away, like she just walked away, but.
Maybe it's a soundproof door.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe she's got her Discman on.
As the dean starts crawling away from his car, this killer gets in his car, puts it in gear, is neutral or probably drive, so that it slowly starts to drive forward. And the killer gets out and watches as the car rolls right over the dean just as it gets to the tire spikes, hits him, it crushes his head against the tire spikes and blows out the tires of the car, which kills the dean. And that is my
dick kill shot of the week.
Dick shot kill of the week.
The camera pans up to the sign that says warning, severe tire damage.
Yeah, do they still do that in some places?
Yeah.
Because I remember, I feel like I saw more back in the day, but yeah. I don't see them as much now.
No, they're around in like airports.
Yeah.
When you rent a car. Usually when you're leaving, you can only go one way.
That's right.
And it's a do not back up.
Yes, please.
Severe tire damage.
It's funny, too. I love this scene, too, because when the car's rolling and the dean's kind of crawling away,
mm-hmm.
it's like the killer's walking along the car, and it kind of reminds me of Ghost Riding the Whip. You know that trend where people get out of the car and dance while it's driving? I was like, look at the killer's ghost riding that whip.
So the dean is dead. Ding dong, the dean is dead.
Party time. This is a good one. I like this. I forgot about this urban legend, but it was true in that song, Roller Coaster
of Love.
There was a rumor that there was a one part of the song where you hear a girl scream. Ah!
Like she's riding a roller coaster.
No, yeah, no, but that's supposed to be, it's just in the back, very much you could hear it.
Uh-huh.
And the legend was that someone actually died.
Oh.
You know, they caught the scream of the person dying in the studio.
Okay.
And they had a cut recording, but they let, you know, somehow made it into this is a true urban legend. And that's kind of like how the party starts. Of course, it shows Parker. Of course. Parker's getting his little dog drunk. We got to know he's got a little
beer bong for the terrier.
Little terrier dog. And this nerd is telling Sasha about this urban legend, about the scream and the
scream.
Skull. Yeah. And they say that, you know, that's why it made the cut. And
Sasha's not impressed.
Not impressed because he's just a dumbass nerd.
And Paul walks up to Natalie and says, like, hey, he points out that Wexler was the sole survivor of the Stanley Hall Massacre, so he must be the murderer, right?
Yeah, because, you know, he's probably going all nuts because it is the 25th year. He probably loses a little bit every year.
Yeah, the universe, what the deal was that the university is going to keep it a secret and then Wexler gets a job for life.
Yeah.
Like, if he's actually the killer. From back then? I don't understand that premise.
The premises I got really out of it was like, if you just don't tell anyone, you know, about this story, you'll be set. But
it drove him crazy, and now he's killing again, or he's now out for blood.
Because Paul wants to report this to the cops, but when he calls the cops, the dean had already warned
the
local police force to, hey, you're probably going to get some calls about a 25th anniversary killer on the loose. It's just a prank. They're having a party for it. And gave them the names of Natalie and Paul.
Right. So Paul, after Paul, you know, unloads all this on Natalie, she's just, you know, distraught or whatever. And they do the classic, like, I'm here for you if you need anything.
Yeah, after this horrible story, let's make out.
And they kiss.
Yes. And boy, Brenda walks in. Andy.
Brenda walks in with beers. She's very upset because she has a crush on Paul. She's just like, here's your, you didn't waste any time, did you, Natalie? Here's your beer. It's a light.
Yeah.
And she storms out.
I thought it was going to be a Nox Zima.
Zima.
Nox Zima.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Paul's just clueless. He's like, what's that all about?
Yeah, of course he doesn't know, but Reese is making her rounds across campus.
Yep.
And she hears some sounds coming from Professor Wexler's office.
Yep.
And she hears a noise, right, Andy? And so this is, she makes it into his office, and this is like where she just slips on massive amounts of blood.
Big amount of blood. And the camera kind of zooms out, and you see like the office is trashed. You know, there's, I think, like a couch cushion that was all torn up. There's blood on the floor. So Reese is like, holy shit. And we bounce back to the party. Paul walks up to Parker.
Yeah, he says, yo, man.
Takes him aside and says, hey, dude, you got to stop the party. We think there's a killer on the loose.
Oh, of course. Parker has fun with this.
He's a big douche. I just said Parker's a big douche about it.
But he kind of like said, you know, he cuts the music.
Yeah.
Of course, everyone listens. The perfect 90s thing, just like when, you know, someone walks in the room, everyone stops, the music turns off. So this is the same thing. So Parker's explaining the story. Hey, Paul wants us to cut this party.
Because he thinks
there's a killer. But Paul, what if you don't have any stories. You're about to graduate. He thinks Paul is kind of setting up the story or the killer, if he was.
Yeah.
To gain journalistic respect.
Yeah. You're gaming the, yeah, you're putting this act on so you can get some headlines.
So they're like, fuck Paul, let's party. So the party continues.
Yay!
Ugh. And this is where
Paul tells Natalie, stay put. I'm going to go try to find help. And Paul ducks out.
Yeah.
Sasha says, Parker, why are you such a jerk? Whatever. I got to head to the radio station. So Sasha ducks out of the party too, and she goes off to the radio station. Suddenly, Parker gets a phone call.
Well, Parker's kind of running around.
Being a host.
Yeah, being a host, and he gets a phone call. He's like in the kitchen or somewhere, but it's kind of important because he answers the phone, hello, cordless phone with a caller ID on the back, like classic.
Yeah.
Finally hears in this very screamy, like it's very scream, fashioned, I should say.
Yeah.
You're going to die tonight. So, of course, Parker looks at the caller ID, Andy, and it's from Damon's room.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, oh, are you going to come out and, tell me that, the call's coming from the other room, it's talking about the urban legend. And he's kind of running around the house as he's telling this, I think on his way to Damon's room.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he's back and hiding out, maybe, after getting back from the mountains.
Right.
Killer goes, wrong. It's not about that. It's about the one with the old lady, which I barely remember. The old lady accidentally microwaving her dog.
To dry it off.
Yeah, because of the rain. And so
it's not the babysitter legend. It's the
old lady, trying to dry her dog off in the microwave. Ugh, I hate this scene, Andy.
He bolts.
Yep, bolts down to the kitchen, and in the microwave is just massive amounts of, looks like Vienna sausages and fucking paint, just blood everywhere.
Yeah.
So his dog is
dead. I remember that
being
a big deal in my school. Like, I was still in high school. I remember everybody talking about that. Like,
oh, in the movie?
Have you seen Urban Legend? They fucking microwaved a dog.
Of course, how we all feel here on Slash U. He fucking freaks out, so he runs back upstairs because he thinks it's Damon or trying to find out what the hell's going on. His dog is dead. And as he runs upstairs, he's kind of whacked on the head. Quick fade to black, wakes up, and he's in the room, in a bathroom, killer standing over him, takes a makeshift beer bong, rams it down his throat, fucking takes a bottle of Drano and makes him just drink it all, goes into convulsions, slapping everywhere, and that is my
Dick Kill.
Dick Kill.
Dick shot of the week, shot of the week.
Kill of the week. Dick shot. Kill of the week.
Dick shot, kill of the week.
Was it Pop Rocks and Drano, or... Just Drano.
I think it was just, why would you need Pop Rocks?
Oh, the urban legend.
Oh, I guess. But it's not Pop Rocks and Drano.
Eat these Pop Rocks and here's a bunch of bleach.
I don't know.
Well, because Pop Rocks and Pepsi doesn't kill you. So, Pop Rocks maybe and bleach or Drano.
Maybe it was Damon getting killed, probably. Oh. But I really just think all they need is Drano. Maybe we should look up to see if there is an urban legend about that. But that's actually a good call, Andy. Is that the only kill that is not part of an urban legend?
Well, that's Parker. He dead.
He did.
I got to put him on the list. I put the dog, but I didn't put Parker. Oh, shit. So that's that. Parker's dead, which really sucks. The killer, meanwhile, Reese is Officer Reese is on the phone trying to call the cops, but there's a big old thunderstorm rolling in, and they're just saying, like, because of the rain and the weather, it's been really hard to get anybody out. This is a heavy torrential downpour, four inches of rain, whatever. And Reese is all like,
Probably in a very small university town.
Right. So Reese is just like, well, you're no help. I'm going to do it myself. And Natalie is trying to call Paul, can't get a hold of him. And we go to Sasha, who's on the air at the radio station.
Yeah, because back at the party, they kind of show the speakers are off. It's kind of chill, you know, kind of calm down a little bit at the party. You got Sasha's sex show playing.
Yeah.
And she takes a call, which I think is absolutely fucking dumb.
Also an urban legend, though.
Two people getting stuck.
Stuck in a sex position.
Yeah, but why would you call the fucking Loveline DJ at a college campus?
I don't know.
I mean, come on, dude. I mean, if it isn't... Okay, I'll give it the urban legend, but...
Yeah.
I paused the movie and looked at Jody and went, this is... I mean, I was already getting kind of mad and stuff for some of this shit, but...
Oh, there's more, but yes.
Yeah, well, we're stuck. What should we do? Let's call Sasha.
Call Sasha's sex line.
She's a sex line at a fucking small university in the Northeast. Brilliant!
She'll be able to help. But the getting stuck. So as Sasha's taking the phone call, you can see in the background, it's blurred because it's in the background. Her producer is in the other room.
Sexy producer.
And the lights go out in that room just as he gets jumped and killed. And all of a sudden, the phone line goes dead. And Sasha's just like, hello? Hello? And she turns as the killer smashes through the studio window with his axe.
And she runs for her life, and this is kind of my second watch. It's just kind of one of those classic, you know.
But her radio, like, headset is, I think, a Bluetooth.
It is, because the first thing I said is, how in the hell are people hearing these screams when she's you know, away from her DJ booth? And it is. She's got a
Bluetooth. And she's still on the air.
Yeah, screaming.
So Natalie's back at the party hearing it, and no one else is really paying attention because they think it's just part of the music.
Yeah, they think it's kind of like homage to the 25th anniversary. Yes. Her screams are kind of like playing off on that. But it is just a quick run of like that classic trope where, oh, she's about to die. Nope, she falls to her death. No, she's...
just hurt her ankle.
Yeah, hurt her ankle. She makes it finally to an elevator to get back to her DJ booth.
Right.
And of course, while this is happening, Natalie hears it on the radio, and she is not thinking. She knows this isn't a fake thing.
She's real.
So Natalie's running to the radio station, Andy.
And Officer Reese is in her squad car, tunes in, and hears it as well. She can hear Sasha going like, somebody please help me.
Yeah.
Still on the air. So Reese is just like, holy shit. Natalie gets into the building and looks up at the DJ booth window just as our killer walks in with the axe and just starts chopping the shit out of Sasha.
This kind of death bothers me when someone's like, I mean, I remember in Cliffhanger, like the very opening of Cliffhanger, and this scene, like, I don't want to die. Like, Cliffhanger's like, don't let me go. Like, having someone look at
Sasha,
you like,
I don't want to die.
I don't know why, but for some reason.
When they beg for their life, it's worse.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just like, because you know, like, they don't want to die.
Right.
But,
well... Sasha's dead, and the killer just stands up and waves slightly down at Natalie.
That is good.
Who's like two stories down looking up. Natalie takes off running. She runs all the way back to Paul's dorm trying to find him, banging on the door. But Paul comes in from outside. He's like, what are you doing? I told you to stay put. Natalie's like, Sasha's dead. She's on the air, blah, blah, blah. They get into Paul's room. He's all shaky, and he's like, I tried calling. He picks up the phone. He's like, phone lines are dead. And then suddenly Natalie's like, where were you just now?
Yeah,
where have you been?
Yeah, Paul.
And he's like, I've been running around campus trying to find the dean's not here. I can't find Reese. Ah! And Natalie picks up the phone too. Like, is it actually dead? And he's just like, yeah, I just told you the phone's dead. Like, what?
I think he starts to get it.
He's like, hey, I'm on your side here.
Yeah, I'm here. I consoles her. I'm on her side. And
let's get off campus and try to find a working phone.
And that's exactly what they do. When they run out in the storm, they hook up with Brenda.
They bump into Brenda.
What's happening?
I heard Sasha on the radio.
She's dead.
Yeah.
Ah.
So Paul, Natalie, and Brenda load up in Paul's Jeep and start going.
Yeah.
Reese, Officer Reese, gets to the radio station and finds Sasha's body. And she's... on the case.
We know
she goes and
that,
gets her gun.
You know, so Paul, Natalie, and Brenda take off in Paul's car to get to the closest gas station to use the phone. They need help. So as Paul runs into the gas station, Andy, to use the phone, Brenda looks at Natalie and says, you know what, if you want to date Paul, that's cool. You guys are cute. Go ahead. And
they observe a poor smell.
Yeah. They're like, what's that?
This van reeks.
And right when they
Jeep.
Wagoneer. Whatever.
Yeah, it's a Jeep. Yeah.
They hear a phone ring, very similar to the one we've heard before in the movie. So a bad smell, a mysterious phone ringing.
Yeah.
They go to the back of the trunk and fucking in that trunk.
Dr. Wexler.
Dr. Wexler.
His body. He's dead.
He is dead.
And they look up and make eye contact with Paul inside the gas station, and Brenda repeats, like I said, he's all yours.
Yeah.
And Paul gives them a look like, what are they doing? And they take off running.
Of course.
And he comes running out after him like, hey.
Yeah, and they get separated.
As they're all running through the woods,
yeah,
Natalie's Brenda, like, we're going back to campus. Suddenly Brenda trips, and Natalie keeps going, which is great best friend thing to do, by the way.
Yeah. I'll go get help.
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah. You don't have to be faster than the killer. You have to be faster than your friend.
Yeah.
Right on. Same with outrunning bears. Nick, if you and I are in the woods and a big old bear came out, I'm kicking you in the knee and I'm taking off.
If we went camping in the woods and...
Take my friend Nick. Just kidding. I love you.
Would you sleep with me naked in the woods?
What?
And if we slept naked in the woods, would you tell anybody?
What?
If we slept naked in the woods, would you tell anybody?
Yes.
No, you would?
No, I'd brag about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're supposed to say no, then I was supposed to say, do you want to go camping?
Or
do you want
to that's not the joke I've heard.
Oh, it's like...
I've heard if you...
I'm trying to make it PC.
Oh. Mine's not PC.
Yeah. Do you want to go... Isn't it like, do you want to go to the woods and let me bang you?
It's,
To another dude.
If you went camping and you woke up in the morning and found a condom in your butt...
That's right.
Found a condom in your butt. Would you tell anybody?
I've heard it told both ways.
And when the person says no, you go, do you want to go camping this weekend? Like, really enthusiastically. That's the joke.
Yeah. So, no, that's good.
Pretty bad. Anyway, so
Natalie flags down a car, a truck and it's the janitor.
Yeah. By now it stopped raining. We should say that too. So
in the janitor's truck, there's a jacket that everyone buys at the local Land's End. So, of course, she starts thinking he's the killer because he's a creepy janitor. He's got to be the killer.
Yep.
And he is like,
what are you doing?
Yeah, like, well, what's going on? And right as this is happening, that Jeep, Paul's Jeep, comes by.
Without its headlights on.
And, of course, the janitor goes, stupid kids.
And he turns on his lights to flash his lights.
Yep.
And Natalie's like, no!
No!
Don't flash your lights at him. And the Jeep does a U-turn and barrels up right behind him, flashing its lights. And we see that it's our killer behind the wheel, runs the janitor's truck off the road. Is the janitor dead?
That's what I wrote. I can't believe it.
I'm asking you.
I wrote that too. I wrote that on too. I was like,
son of a bitch.
Andy is the fucking. Did I wrote Andy? Does the janitor die?
We can count him if you want.
He has. I mean, we never saw him back alive.
He's unconscious, slumped over behind the wheel, all bloody. So, yeah.
I would count him.
Counting him. Natalie takes off running. At this point, Cheryl said, boy, she's really out for herself, isn't she? I said, you know what? You're right. She ran away from Paul with Brenda. Brenda tripped. Natalie didn't even turn around. Now she jumps out after this crash. Fuck you, janitor. Deuces. And she takes off, you know, keeps going. Natalie's really only out for herself. She gets back to campus to one of those blue light phones.
Yeah, they're on. Yep, sure.
And she's like yelling at, you know, hello, help, 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 hitting the button, like the panic button thing. But nobody's there. And suddenly she hears screaming coming from
the old boarded up Stanley Hall. There's a light on in the old boarded up and it cries permeate from a second story window. And Natalie's like, I'm going to go investigate.
Yeah.
I don't think I would. If you heard screams coming from an abandoned, like, I hate to say that, like, but you just don't know what you're getting into and you could be breaking in. Like, it's just,
I think she thinks it's Brenda.
Yeah.
What they could have done. When she climbs in the window and you hear more screaming, she could have said, Brenda?
Yeah.
Brenda, is that you? Otherwise, you and I, normal people, are like, why the fuck is she going in there? Why isn't she going to find help? But that's what she does. She gets into the boarded up Stanley Hall, still hearing the screaming. He's going to kill me. Help. She stumbles into a room. She's all opening doors and looking. But
this is the trope of finding the dead body.
She opens a door, and Parker's body comes flopping down with all kinds of soapy suds coming out. That's why I think it was Pop Rocks, because he, like, exploded. And then I think
Drano could do that on its own, but that's
She finds
me.
The Dean's body.
Yep.
And then she finds Damon's body. Like, holy shit. He opens a door, and he's hanging there, and she scoots past him and stumbles into a room full of candles, lit candles.
Very, very 90s soft rock.
Yeah, very insurance hazard. Just ready to set the room on fire. I've pointed that out before, too. But there's her friend Brenda, dead on the bed.
Looks to be dead on the bed.
And Natalie drops down crying.
Oh, but guess what?
Brenda slowly sits up.
And just punches her in the face, and right then,
knocks
Andy,
her out. Yeah.
You know that Brenda is our killer.
Shit, Brenda's the killer.
She puts a small piece of scotch tape over Natalie's mouth so she can't talk.
And the humidity has done wonders on her hair at this point, too.
But I mean, she put a little piece of tape.
Little piece of black.
I mean, you could have got it right off. Yeah. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
But they made Brenda look crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Rebecca Gayheart, great job here. Good makeup job. Eyeliner around. Popping her eyes. Her hair's all frizzy. I said, like, it's obviously the rain, the humidity.
That's a good call. But I mean, I like it.
It also makes her look nuts.
Nuts.
And she has crazy person strength, right?
Yeah.
Because she's able to move these bodies of grown men. She's like,
we'll talk about that too.
She's like a 125 pound girl.
We'll talk about that too. Exactly.
And she's able to lift Damon's body, Parker's body, the Dean's body.
Her father had to be Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees. She's got that fucking strength. That supernatural strength. Yeah. She's got Hulk semen in her. Like, I mean, something that is
Hulk semen. I think it's just rage.
Yeah, but well, we find out, we get the backstory, which yes. Of course you know.
Why?
Slash, you love the backstory.
Why are you doing this, Brenda?
Because the love of her life was the kid that ran off the road when Michelle Mancini and Natalie were playing that prank.
She shows a slideshow on the wall.
Yeah, nice PowerPoint.
This was my boyfriend. He was the love of my life.
We were going to get married after high school.
We were going to get married after high school. He didn't have money for a ring. Dude, Nick, when I was in high school, I was so dumb. Like, for me to call somebody the love of my life seems so silly now.
Yeah.
So silly. Like, what the fuck was I thinking? You know what I mean?
Are you being for real?
I am for real. You don't know anything.
I thought you were going to open up and tell me a story.
No, I don't have a story. I'm just saying, like, for her to say this and be like this broken up about it, it's like you're in high school.
Getting married after high school is very 60s, 50s,
yeah.
60s. But
yeah.
I don't see it really being even late 90s.
But, you know, she...
Small She's town like, in Maine.
He was the love of my life, hands down.
For some reason, I remember it being the twin brother, but then I was like, oh, it's her fucking boyfriend. So,
and that's what Cheryl said, too. Cheryl, earlier in the movie,
yeah.
Cheryl was like, Brenda's the killer, and it was her twin brother,
that's
right?
Yep.
And I was like, I'm not going to tell you until we find... Now, it's not her twin
but no,
brother.
But no, it's the love of her life.
Right.
And so it's...
Brenda explains she's tried therapy. She can't get over it. Then the urban legend killed her boyfriend, so she's going to kill Natalie with an urban legend. Old kidney heist.
The old kidney heist where, you know, a guy meets a girl at a bar, takes her back to her room. He suddenly blacks out and wakes up in a...
bathtub of ice.
Bathtub full of ice.
Missing his kidney.
Missing his kidney.
Yeah.
Because they're popular on the black market. And
Brenda.
I remember when I first heard that as a kid, I was like, man, is that real?
Yeah. Could that happen?
Yeah. It's crazy how urban... But I was talking to Jody.
Organ trafficking.
Urban legends can't really take off like they do now because of social media and digital content. I just kind of think that urban legends, it's hard to have urban legends.
We still have a lot of, like, lies and bullshit that spreads.
Every year on the news at Halloween,
yeah,
there's going to be a report somewhere about...
Razor
a mother being kind of concerned.
Yeah.
They blew that shit up during COVID.
Razor blades and candy?
Yeah, COVID and candy. Like, it was so stupid. Anyway, we're...
Or, like, drugs. Like, careful. Your kids are going to eat these pot gummies, first of all.
No one's going to give away
Anybody who's got pot gummies is not going to give them to kids.
What? Yeah.
A moron.
God. And no
know?
One's going to sit there. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe urban legends can still live on. But
you know the old saying that a lie can spread around the world before the truth even gets its coat on?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, ooh. Very, very cinephile-y and romantic at the same time. Here comes Reese to the rescue because, you know, they make this scene, Andy, I read, just to add a little bit more gore to the movie. Really didn't feel it was that gory, but you could see that she's trying to make an incision in Natalie's body. But Reese comes to the rescue, and a fight ensues, Andy.
She Reese is able to untie one of Natalie's arms, goes to handcuff Brenda, but Brenda gets a stab in on Reese. Brenda holds the gun on Natalie and when Paul comes in, Paul does the old slow clap. Great plan, Brenda. And he tries to smooth talk Brenda, saying,
I love that.
You know, I could write a story about this whole thing, and
yeah,
I could use the information
the
from
Paul
you.
Story,
and,
yeah.
And Brenda could be like, we'd be so hot together, Paul. And he's like, yeah, now just maybe give me the gun. And Brenda's like, you're hot, but you're not that fucking hot.
Nice.
And
She does the old eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Who am I going to shoot first? Eeny, meeny, miny. And on mo, Reese shoots Brenda in the arm.
Reese says, mo. And like, mo. She was like very Foxy Brown, like the person she loves. So, yeah.
Brenda
falls out the window.
Well, she drops the gun, and Natalie has the gun. And as Brenda charges Natalie, she shoots her.
Yeah, the eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Reese shoots her. And she takes the gunshot. She falls out of the window.
Yeah.
It's two stories.
Right.
She's dead.
Paul hugs Natalie. You're okay. Or no, Paul does the old, are you all right? And Natalie's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, very honest. Need it in more movies, friend. Yes. If she'd have said, yeah, I'm pregnant. Or call back to Hayride. Or let's go get IHOP. You know, or let's go to Denny's.
Let's go make brunch.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
She's not good.
Let's chuckle because all our friends are dead. But no, she's not okay. Reese is shot, but she's going to be all right. Our next scene is Paul and Natalie driving away. Where? Why? Yeah,
they don't stick around to make to make sure that Reese is fine. They're like, oh, she'll be fine. The cops are on their way.
Cheryl's like, where are they going right now? I don't know. They're driving away.
Atlanta.
Yeah, they're going to Atlanta. And Paul says, Natalie says, you know what? This whole story will become an urban legend too someday. And Paul does the old, well, if this is going to be an urban legend, then where's the twist? And Brenda's in the back seat. She pops up. Yeah!
She's still fucking alive.
Yeah, and fully, no broken bones or anything. No. She's got that Hulk semen, man.
She's got, that Hulk semen is going.
She's like, I live. Michael Myers fell two stories. And he walked
Jason
away.
Jason Voorhees went to space.
So okay, here we are.
Like, I mean, she's got all kinds of great semen.
And her and Natalie struggle, screaming. And Paul ends up smashing into some guardrails of a bridge. And Brenda flies out the windshield into the river. And they see her body floating away.
So she's finally dead.
Paul and Natalie embrace. They hug on the bridge. And we hear sirens here. How? Why? I don't know. The cops are... Maybe he has OnStar. How come the cops are coming here?
Because they've been called like 8 times since like the night before, and they're finally making
it. This is on a bridge miles away from campus, and the cops are coming here. I don't get it. Anyway, it's so silly. They fade to another kid telling the whole story.
How many years later? I wish they would have said
that. They didn't say, but he's like, in the river washed away the body, but they never found it. And the other kids don't believe him. They're like, it always gets covered up. One kid says, oh, well, no, it has to be true because Natalie is my old roommate's cousin. And another kid's like, yeah, and Brenda's the Noxzema girl, sure.
And
which,
that,
hilarious.
Yeah, that was another Easter egg. Yeah.
And then Brenda's there. Or, you know, it's a girl who looks exactly like Brenda. It's just like, that's not right. I believe you, but you didn't tell it right. So listen up. And then we roll credits.
So two things right there. Like, she didn't die.
Nope.
She fucking got shot, fell out of the building, got pushed, you know, at very high speeds through the windshield, into the water,
floated
glass,
away. Yeah.
Shot, I mentioned shot, and she's, I mean, I'm assuming that she's back. So, two things, another thing. That had to be, like, only a couple years later because of the fashion you see the kids wearing. Doesn't seem that much.
Different.
And, of course.
It's late 90s?
Yeah. So
well,
instead
this
of 90s,
is late 90s.
Yeah,
like, this so maybe, is maybe 01?
No, it's 2 years.
Okay, so this is 2000.
But Brenda's still alive and she's doing well, like Andy said, roll credits.
So does she jump around to college now and kill according to urban legend?
I think this is the same university.
Oh, she's back at Pendleton.
Yeah, I think I don't think she could be.
How could she do that?
I'm so angry right now. It's supposed to be like
maybe
really...
she's at Harvard now or Princeton or some other.
Oh,
some other
God,
Ivy
I love
League
the trope.
School.
Hey, on a scale of
she's
three...
at Marquette University, Milwaukee. No. Yeah, sorry.
On a scale of 3 Sugar Ray albums to 9 Sugar Ray albums, what would you give this?
The nostalgic factor makes it rank higher for me, like a 7.
7? Okay, good. I'd give it a 7.
Could use a little more gore, but...
More gore, more bubes, and I also think that I know the urban legend stories are great, but they could have made them kind of become more realistic. The backstory was beautiful. Maybe, you know, they could have done the twin brother thing.
Classic revenge story.
But, I mean, I still think the same power would have been there if you killed my twin brother. You know, I guess, you weren't fucking your twin brother.
No.
Twin brother, I'm stuck in this...
Right.
...laundry room door.
I think that I do like that we have different ways of death. You know, there's a lot of movies where it's just like the killer just using a machete to kill everybody. You know, different creative deaths always give a few more points for me.
Yeah.
So that's fun. And I don't know. I liked it. 7.
I'm glad you liked it too. I'm going to give it a 7 as well. Let's get into
the Easter eggs too. The Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm sure Brenda's the Noxzema girl. Yeah, or he turns on the radio and I don't want to wait. And he's like, oh, I hate that song. It's like, I didn't catch that first time around when I was 17. You know, maybe I did.
Yeah.
I didn't catch it. So,
like, it's kind of fun, like, kind of poking fun. I'm going to try to do some Easter eggs in Murder Cabin.
All right.
I'll put, like, someone carve into a tree out in the woods that says something like, I don't pay my taxes.
There you go.
Or I pay my taxes.
Send us your favorite urban legend stories, /youpodcast@gmail.com. We'll shout out.
Let's do the kill count.
All right. Counting those kills.
Because I know I read. Yeah. So I'm going to see if yours matches.
Oh, all right. Michelle Mancini, beginning of the movie, got decapitated, followed by our boy Damon hanging from the tree and up and down on the rope. And then Tosh, the goth roommate, aren't you glad you didn't turn on the light?
Yep.
The Dean, run over by his own car on the spike, the tire spikes. That's my dick shot kill of the week. The poor dog in the microwave.
Ugh.
That's a rough one. Rough way to go. R-U-F-F rough. Anyway, Parker, Nick's dick shot kill of the week. Beer bong full of Drano. The radio producer in the background while Sasha was taking the phone call, followed by Sasha.
Yep.
And then Dr. Wexler, we discovered his body. Didn't see him die, but his body was clearly there, dead in Paul's trunk. And then the janitor, I guess?
Yeah.
Yes? Call the janitor a kill?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
10?
That's 10.
Well, then this
Who else is counting?
Well, I just saw on some of the stuff I found online, 9.
Oh.
But we counted the dog. And most people wouldn't be count the dog, so they must have counted the janitor, too.
They did count the janitor. Okay, that was my question. I would think, you're right. I would think they would count the dog. Why not?
Some people just don't have hearts.
It's more likely they didn't count the janitor, but...
The janitor, though, didn't go like, go, leave me here, or send help, or anything like that.
If they just quick shot at him just coughing up blood and Natalie saying, I'll go get help.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
Again, let's go. Oh, yeah. We're about to watch this movie that a backstory final exam. Anyway, do you want to talk about next week, March Madness? Can we get that done by next week?
Yeah, we put together we'll put together a bracket.
I love this idea.
What do you think, like 16?
Yes. Sweet 16. Start off with 16.
Yeah.
I think that Rebecca Gayhart should be in this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think she could go toe-to-toe with some of these killers.
So we'll go back through our movies, and we'll pull out 16 slashers, 16 killers, and we'll pit them against each other. Then what do we want to do? You just debate them or ask the audience?
We'll ask the audience, but then we can debate them. They can be mini episodes too, because then we can have more content to push out.
Sure.
Because we're going to be taking some time off for Midi et Cabion.
The French dub. Midi et Cabion. Oui, oui. We've done all the accents.
Shit.
Time to get into the French.
No, but anyway, so this is
croissant.
Great. No, but this is a good idea. So quick episodes where we debate.
Yeah.
And here's my thing, though. If you don't know the killer, because I know who I'm already going to put up there, and I can go ahead and say it. The Beast from Sweatshop. I mean, come on. I mean, in my guess, it's going to be tough to beat him, but that's what the whole Sweet 16 is. If you haven't seen the movie, reach out to us, fellow six listeners, and we'll tell you the movie to watch so you can compare. Don't just vote on someone because you know them. You got to really think about them.
We'll try to put some stuff on the Facebook page, on the Instagram. I'll get something up on the website about it.
We can do that this week. We'll talk about it right now.
We'll flesh some of that out, and then we will discuss. We'll try to come to an ultimate winner. A champion, and this will only be the movies we've watched.
Of course.
You know? Yeah, because otherwise you just get...
Oh, we got to include ones we haven't watched. We got to include...
Do we, though?
Yeah, Jason needs to be in it.
And then he's going to win.
No, he won't.
No. I don't want to...
Okay, let's...
We can include Michael Myers because we watched Halloween. That's my thought.
Yeah. You
know? I don't want to open it up to movies we haven't seen on this podcast.
Okay, sounds fair.
I'll arm wrestle you for it.
No, we'll put it in the bylaws. That sounds it. Let's play a game of Twister for it.
All right. Game on. So that's it for this week. Yeah. We're going to be talking tournament.
Covered in Hulk semen.
Next time.
Yes, we will keep bringing this up. Follow us on our socials. And again, please check out Murder_Movie.
Murder_Cabin_Movie.
Thank you. We went a little over, but the excitement of Murder Cabin is on the mind. That was a fun one, Andy.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for listening. That's it. /youpodcast.com and /you_podcast on Insta. Until next time, class dismissed.
Bye.